Chapter 6. Sir, I've nothing more to say. A desperate stroke discerned I then God pardon her pardon not to lie. As he had sighed, that she wished lest the child should pine of slights, twere mine, so I said. Utter father I, that ill thought it yours is the way of men. But I won her troth long ere your day. Ill learned how, in dying, she summoned me? T'was in fealty. Sir, I've nothing more to say, save that, if you'll hand me my little maid, I'll take her, and rear her, and spare you toil. Think it more than a friendly act none can. I'm a lonely man, while you've a large pot to boil. If not, and you'll put it to ball, or blade tonight, tomorrow night, any when I'll meet you here. But think of it, and in season fit let me hear from you again. Well, I went away, hoping, but not I heard of my stroke for the child, till there greeted me a little voice, that one day came to my window frame and babbled innocently. My father, who's not my own, sends word I'm to stay here, sir, where I belong. Next day writing came. Hence the child was the fruit of your lawless suit, pray take her, to right a wrong. And I did. And I gave the child my love, and the child loved me, and estranged us none. But compunctions loomed, for I'd harmed the dead by what I'd set for the good of the living one. Yet though, God wot, I am sinner enough, and unworthy the woman who drew me so, perhaps this wrong for her darling's good she forgives, or would, if only she could know. The dance at the Phoenix, to Jenny, came a gentle youth from inland leases lone, his love was fresh as apple blooth by parrot, yeo, her tone. And duly he entreated her to be his tender minister, and call him I her own. Fair Jenny's life had hardly been a life of modesty. At Casterbridge experience keen of many loves, had she from scarcely 16 years above, among them sundry troopers of the king's own cavalry. But each with charger, sword, and gun, had bluffed the Biscay wave, and Jenny prized her gentle one for all the love he gave. She vowed to be, if they were wed, his honest wife in heart and head from bridal hour to grave. Wedded they were. Her husband's trust in Jenny knew no bound, and Jenny kept her pure and just, till even malice found no sin, or sign of ill to be in one who walked so decently the duteous helpmates round. Two sons were born, and bloomed to men, and roamed, and were as not. Alone was Jenny left again as ere her mind had sought a solace in domestic joys, and ere the vanished pair of boys were sent to sun her cot. She numbered near on 60 years, and passed as elderly, when, in the street, with flush of fears, one day discovered she, from shine of swords and thump of drum, her early loves from war had come, the king's own cavalry. She turned aside, and bowed her head anigh St. Peter's door, alas for chastened thoughts. She said, I'm faded now, and o'er, and yet those notes they thrill me through, and those gay forms move me anew as in the years of yore. T'was Christmas, and the Phoenix Inn was lit with tapers tall, for 30 of the trooper men had vowed to give a ball as heirs had done, t'was handed down, when lying in the selfsame town near Buonaparte's fall. That night the throbbing old year's joy, the measured tread and sway of Ansi lad and Aiden coy, reached Jenny as she lay beside her spouse, till springtide blood seemed scouring through her like a flood, that whisked the years away. She rose, and rayed, and decked her head, where the bleached hairs ran thin, upon her cap two boughs of red she fixed with hasty pin. Unheard descending to the street, she trod the flags with tune-led feet, and stood before the inn. Save for the dancers, not a sound disturbed the icy air, no watchman on his midnight round or traveler was there, but over all saints, high and bright, pulsed to the music serious white, the wain by bulls take square. She knocked, but found her further stride checked by a sergeant tall. Gay granny, whence come you, he cried. His is a private ball. Oh, one has more right here than me. Ere you were born, man, answered she, knew the regiment all. Take not the lady's visit ill. Up spoke the steward free. We lack sufficient partners still, so, prithee let her be. They seized and whirled her mid the maze, and Jenny felt as in the days of her immodesty. Hour chased each hour, and night advanced. She sped as shod with wings. Each time and every time she danced reels, jigs, poussettes, and flings. They cheered her as she soared and swooped. She'd learned ear art in dancing grouped from hops to slothful swings. The favorite quick step, beat the plow, cross hands, cast off, and wheel, the triumph, sylph, comma, the road, dow, dow, famed, a Jormally's reel, the Duke of York's, the fairy dance, the bridge of Lodi, brought from France, she beat out, toe and heel. The all of Paris clanged its close, and Peter's chime told four, when Jenny, bosom beating, rose to seek her silent door. They tiptoed in escorting her, lest stroke of heel or clink of spur should break her goodman's snore. The fire that late had burnt fell slack, when lone at last stood she. Her 59 years came back. She sank upon her knee beside the dern, and like a dart a something arrowed through her heart in shoots of agony. Their footsteps died as she leant there, lit by the morning star hanging above the moorland, where the aged elm rows are, and, as o'ernight, from Pummery Ridge to Meanberry Ring and Standfast Bridge no life stirred, near or far. Though in her mischief worked amain, she reached her husband's side, where, toil-weary, as he had lain beneath the patchwork pied, when yester of she forthward crept, and as unwitting, still he slept who did in her confide. A tear sprang as she turned and viewed his features free from guile. She kissed him long, as when, just wooed, she chose his domicile. She felt she could have given her life, to be the single-hearted wife, that as he had been erstwhile. Time wore 2-6. Her husband rose, and struck the steel and stone. He glanced at Jenny, whose repose seemed deeper than his own. With dumb dismay, on closer sight, he gathered sense that in the night, or morn, her soul had flown. When told that some too mighty strain for one, so many years had burst her bosom's master vein, his doubts remained unstirred. His Jenny had not left his side betwixt the eve and morning tide. The king said not a word. Well, times are not as times were then, nor fair ones half so free, and truly they were martial men, the king's own cavalry. And when they went from Castor Bridge and vanished over Millstock Ridge, 'twas saddest morn to see. The Castor Bridge Captain's Khyber Pass, 1842, a tradition of J.B. 50. T. G. B. and J. 50. Dot. Three captains went to Indian wars, and only one returned. Their mate of yore, he singly wore the laurels all had earned. At home he sought the ancient isle wherein, untrumped of fame, the three had sat in pupilage, and each had carved his name. The names, rough-hewn, of equal size, stood on the panel still, unequal since. 'Twas theirs to aim, mine was it to fulfill. Who saves his life shall lose it, friends. Outspake the preacher then, unweeding he his listener, who looked at the names again. That he had come, and they'd been stayed, 'twas but the chance of war. Another chance, and they'd sat here, and he had lain afar. Yet saw he something in the lives of those who'd ceased to live that spurred them with a majesty which living failed to give. Transcendent triumph in return no longer lit his brain. Transcendence rate the distant urn, where slept the fallen twain. A sign seeker, I mark the months in liveries dank and dry, the noontides many shaped and hued. I see the nightfall shades obtrude, and hear the monotonous hours clang negligently by. I view the evening bonfires of the sun on hills, where morning rains have hissed, the eyeless countenance of the mist pallidly rising, when the summer droughts are done. I have seen the lightning blade, the leaping star, the cauldrons of the sea in storm. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.